This is the recollections of Rabbi Aaron Schenker of the Yeshiva Arba'an Zatzal. When did you first come to Lakewood?
Let me see. It was 50 years ago.
Yeah, 50 years ago. Where did you come from?
I came from Baltimore, actually.
Where? You were learning in Baltimore Yeshiva?
Well, I had stopped over in Philadelphia by Rabbi Dave Schwartzman for a while then.
When was that?
That was in 54, Taka. I was in 54. 55, I was in Lakewood.
What made you come to Lakewood? I mean, that's not a question. If you were Rabbi Dave Schwartzman, right?
Well, Rabbi Dave actually sent me in.
And that was, and what was your first experience?
My first experience was Rosh Hashiva.
Yeah.
It was a little. It was very interesting. I went to speak to Rosh Hashiva.
Yeah.
And we didn't get a chance to really talk because Rosh Hashiva was busy with certain stuff.
Yeah.
But he told me, here's up to.
Yeah.
Resigning Koyvim from Dreitstadt.
Yeah.
When ich mon von dir, this was coming red and learn a Mary under.
What did he mean by Koyvim from Dreitstadt?
Well, I knew one son. I'd know three sons. There were three sons. You see, the Rosh Hashiva was an Aden by Rabbi Zalman.
Right.
Rabbi Zalman was an Aden by, I forget which Frank, it was by the Franks.
Ramesha
Mordechai and Reb Sheftel Kramer were Adens by Frank.
Uh-huh.
Now, my eldest Aden, who was Rabbi Avram Chiktanis.
Who?
Rabbi Avram Chiktanis.
From where does, what city he come from?
His name was Tanis because he was Rabbi Tanchum Frank's Aden.
Uh-huh.
He was a Talmud from Rabbi Yisrael. He was from Kovna.
Uh-huh.
He was a Talmud from Rabbi Yisrael.
Salanter. Yeah.
And he's the one that was the Grinder of Slabotki.
Uh-huh.
He died young.
Uh-huh.
He brought in the altar from Slabotki.
That was your great-grandfather?
Yeah, because the Rosh Hashiva was once talking to my father about a certain thing.
Yeah.
My father was Rabbi Yeshua Leib Schenker, who was a rabbi from Baltimore.
Uh-huh.
And my father told him that for a certain reason, the Zayde, Reb Chaim Zonnefeld, held from a certain thing.
Yeah.
And the Zayde and Reb Aaron was a little, wanted the father to do a certain thing. He says, what's the thing in them? They just got their Kesser Zayde for them.
Uh-huh.
He meant Reb Avram Chiktanis. He knew where Reb Chiktanis was. He knew he's the one that brought in the altar. He was the one that found Slabotki.
Uh-huh.
He was the one that got the money from Rothschild to
uh-huh.
open the Koil and the,
wow.
and the Beis HaMusar and the, But he died young, so he didn't have a name like that.
Uh-huh. Okay, so then we're in the middle of a conversation with Rabbi Aaron on this subject.
Yeah.
Yeah, what continued?
What?
So continue on.
About Rabbi Aaron? That was the initial conversation,
yeah.
But I was a little frightened because I was a young bacher. I was 17 when I came to Lakewood.
Uh-huh.
And I was a little frightened of the Rosh Hashiva. The Rosh Hashiva always kept himself very very open.
Yeah.
And but I was a little afraid of the Rosh Hashiva, actually.
What was the fear from?
I mean, it was a Yiras HaRoimimus, you know. The Rosh Hashiva was so great, you know.
It was obvious.
Oh, sure.
Nobody had to tell you this is something.
No. The Rosh Hashiva was, I mean, to see the Rosh Hashiva on by the Tkiyas was something to see already.
Yeah.
I mean, the Rosh Hashiva, I mean, the Bochurim were in awe of the Rosh Hashiva. It wasn't Pach, there was awe. I mean, the Rosh Hashiva had a fantastic presence.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What else happened there with you that you could tell me?
Let me think a little bit. I just walked in from Lakewood right now.
Oh, yeah? You were in Lakewood?
Yeah, I was in Lakewood for... I was telling people that when I came to Lakewood, the yeshiva could still go to a chasana.
Right.
But you wanted specifically Zachem from Lakewood.
A personal thing that you felt and saw that made impression on you. there could be little things, but if you add them up together, they become very big.
No, I remember. I remember like a certain his first shmuz I heard from him when Yom Kippur before Kol Nidre. He said it, and I don't know how the Bochum don't remember the shmuz, but because we had chaburus on this, and I would mention it over, and they didn't remember it, but.
They're not Bochum anymore, right?
What?
The Bochum you're talking about, not Bochum anymore.
Yeah, no, this Chaburah they have, Mishnas Rebar.
Yeah.
The manner in which he said the, in which he talked at that time was very, very, it was, he was speaking and it was mind-opening. A lot of Bochum didn't understand Rabbanan's lotion. But when you were locked in, you took Reish Zachen out.
You had to get attuned to the way he spoke.
The first shmuz of Yom Kippur of that year, 55, was something that really, just to see him walk between the buildings or something to see. I'm trying to think of certain signs.
Could be ordinary things just to describe. Sometimes it's...
Yeah, like what?
Like just routine things. That you think that... Tell me things that you think I heard already.
I don't know. Like, I remember there was a big... you see, Reb Aaron not only knew his Talmidim in Lakewood, he could look through the Elam.
Yeah.
And he could ask after this year, who's the given? Who was there and there? Given now 160 bochrim, he knew every bochrim that was there. I mean, he knew.
He's very aware of things.
Oh yeah, always aware of things. Always. Let me think of such a parzach. I mean, some things I don't know if I want to tell you.
It's all right.
I had a strange laugh with Rabban once.
Yeah.
I once asked him a certain kasha.
Yeah.
He called me an amoz.
What was the subject?
It was a certain sugi we were learning in yeshiva. When I would go to speak to Rabban, it was like this. He felt it was some mishpoch, like a sichus.
Yeah.
So it could be 10 bochum standing there. He would clear them out and call me in.
Uh-huh.
I would speak to him. I'd ask him certain zachen. I never found a time when he wouldn't answer right away.
Mm-hmm.
He was like he had a machine gun delivery.
Uh-huh.
And once I remember, he asked a certain kasha, and he stopped.
Oh.
It never happened before. I never saw it before. Never happened.
Uh-huh.
I thought I went deaf.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know what happened to me. You know, like, but it couldn't have been more than 10 to 15 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
He just was quiet. And then he gave me to try to root him.
Yeah.
But I was so taken back, I didn't hear a word he said.
Uh-huh.
But he gave me try to root him. It was a tesis in Bob Mitzi. I asked him, was this a kasha? It was a tesis. And he just stopped. I don't know what it was, why he stopped. But he just ingested everything, and he just thought it over for his. But it never happened before. He never hesitated. He never hesitated ever.
I mean, everything was on his fingertips.
Yeah. Everything was on his fingertips. The amazing thing about the Rosh Hashiva was when he would be sitting and writing in his office.
Yeah.
I noticed this a number of times. He was writing, and he was always writing.
Yeah.
He never had more. He only had, only in that office, he only had a Schulzinger Shas and a Seder and a Schulzinger Rambam.
Uh-huh.
He practically never had a save. He always had a Gemara open.
Yeah.
But he was writing, always writing. Now, he wrote from Rishonim Achronim, people never heard of you.
Uh-huh.
It was all from memory.
Mm-hmm.
That was always... But about that... So that time, I had talked to him, and he called me an amoz.
Okay, that's nothing unusual.
No. So I walked out, and I was shaking. I was 18 years old.
Uh-huh.
And I was shaking.
Uh-huh.
So I went out, and I met him. I knelt to Rebocha, but I was very close to him.
Yeah.
And he says, Aaron, what happened? I told him, so he says, the Russian called me an amoz. He says, what? I said, the Russian called me an amoz. He says, I'm here 7 years. I'm waiting for the Rosh Hashiva to call me on Amoritz. Like, that was a big, big title.
I know.
That was a big title. I'm waiting 7 years for the Rosh Hashiva to call. What? Rosh Hashiva called you on Amoritz?
You're lucky.
How did you reach that? But I had a Zach with Rosh Hashiva once. It was an interesting Zach. You're picking my memory. I had been away from the Yeshiva a while. I had lost 90 pounds.
Oh.
It was a very... I can't tell you the home I...
Yeah.
But I had lost 90 pounds. I came back to the Yeshiva, and the Rosh Hashiva... I told the Rosh Hashiva what had happened. You know, the doctor I was going to was mamish, wasn't a competent doctor.
Oh.
So, but I had come back to Lakewood, and I had seen Dr. Zeraven, who lived across the street.
Right.
After I'd seen other doctors, and Dr. Zeraven told me, look, you have to gain back some weight. You have to gain some calories. You have to drink maltas. You have to bring ice cream, and you have to drink milk, and you have to come back, and you have to, after you eat, you have to rest up.
Yeah.
So I was up from a bar. I had a shayla about the whole of Israel. Like I was, since I have to go into the, drugstore in Stadt on 4th Street and buy Maltas.
By the way, I want to ask you a question. I forgot. What was the name of that drugstore?
I can't remember. I think it was The Strand.
That's the movie.
I think they kept the same. No, it was where The Strand is right now. There used to be a drugstore there.
I think it was across the street.
No, it was on that corner.
Yeah.
There used to be a drugstore down there. So I went to Rosh Hashiva and asked him, the shayla about being matineta if I can eat cholavakum. Rosh Hashiva looked at me and said, Geglaif, Arois, and Kefamolden.
He didn't say you should be matineta.
Yeah, like, trainish, don't come with frumas, I'm not interested in these. Yeah. Glad I was going, don't ask.
Uh-huh.
They told me when you need milk, don't go right into the office and take milk whenever you need it.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to tell you the rest of this story, but
okay.
I'll tell it to you, but don't. I'm not sure.
Let me turn off the machine.
What?
I'll turn it off for me. I don't miss anything.
I mean, you'll use your discretion for what I told you up until now.
Of course. I didn't record what you said before.
Mm-hmm. No.
I shut it off.
Rabbi Yankis would help the Rosh Hashiva make the sukkah. The guy, Rosh Hashiva was standing in the sukkah and poking a stick through.
Yeah.
I mean, it was very, very sick, very, very sick. You know?
This is when he was sick.
Oh, yeah. Who, Rosh Hashiva?
Yeah.
No, this was before he was sick.
Before he was
sick.
This is
the 50s, early 50s.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is it. And Yankel was still there.
Yeah.
And the Rosh Hashiva put such a thick cover, you can't imagine. But the Rosh Hashiva slept in the sukkah.
Yeah.
Yankel would sleep with the sukkah, and I remember, what's his name? Chatzko Lichtman once slept in the sukkah also.
Yeah.
And, yeah, did you call him Chatzko?
Yeah, he gave me an...
Oh, Chatzko should have Velton for you. Did he tell you about the sloughing the sukkah?
No, he didn't, because when I interviewed him, he was in a rush to go someplace else. But he told me some nice stuff.
Well, ask him about that. So Rosh Hashiva was so cold, maybe like it's mitzvah.
Yeah.
So Rosh Hashiva told him, "No, them not how cold are that's
yeah,
cold.
Yeah.
That's America." Remember the time when Rebellion Lapian was there?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
He actually came here.
Remember that? That's when I found out who Velvel Pearl was.
I interviewed him.
What?
I interviewed him.
Oh, you were able to understand him?
Problem. He has very schwach.
I know.
Very schwach.
But he is one of the people that was instrumental in Rebellion should come.
Uh-huh.
And that they were talking about, when they have time to go out and tour for Yiddishkeit.
Yeah.
And Rebellion got up and speak. Now, after that, Lishmulis, I remember this is the first time I was in the first issue, it was the first one I was in Yeshiva. And I see Velvel coming out. I listened to Rebellion Lapian. Now, I wanted to go to speak to Rebellion Lapian.
Yeah.
Because he was my Zaydis Chaber.
Uh-huh.
Chapel Hill Shanker and him learned together by the altar from Kel. But I wasn't able to get to him. I wanted to speak to him, but I wasn't able to do it. And I see Velvel Pro coming out. I mean, he was crying like a baby.
Yeah.
So I knew Velvel Pro. This is a case. It's not, I mean, like Rebellion La Pian. I don't know if a lot of Bochum knew who he was, but Velvel had ungehabt everything anyway, and he was crying like a baby. So I knew who he was. But the Rosh Hashanah, and he talked about Avada Nisach, you know, Avada Mda, but the Medafi, about the Arois Ken and Ufton. The Rosh didn't say anything until a week later after Rebel Hill left. When Rebel Hill left, the Rosh got up and said, there's no such thing. This is nor land and there's nothing else.
He shouldn't go out.
No, he said, the Rosh Hashanah always held that. I don't think the Rosh Hashanah had in mind what Lakewood became now. Because I know that he tried to shove Stella's for a number of the younger lights there. I know how far he went. You can ask Hotskill about that. I don't know if you've... But Hotskill has some first-hand information there. But I don't know if that's what you would want there. But I know, because I was... I know he tried to stop Stellas for Yankel Grumman and others also. I was with Yankel Grumman in Baltimore for a year.
Yankel Grumman is the one who's in California?
No, that's Pinchas. Yankel was Nifty.
Oh, yeah, I remember him.
Yankel was one of the big Amudim the Yeshiva. He was a person of the Vekishal the Bochra of his. But the Rosh Hashanah always tried, he wanted the younger light when they came to a certain point to go out and take Stellas and, you know, and go fight them. But,
to be what? Be Marbita Torah?
Avad. Look at Chatzkel, he went to Chicago. Chatzkel lost to Stella because he backed Reb Aharon.
Because he backed?
Yeah. Because there was one of the younger light, one of the Malamdin that he had there in Chicago was an Alta Talmud of Reb Aharon. Reb Aharon told him to protect him. Now they wanted to get rid of him.
Why did they want to get rid of him?
Because I don't know why they wanted to get rid of him. I couldn't tell you the whole politics, but I knew him very well. You have to ask Hotskill about it. But Hotskill stood the ground. Reb Aharon told him he didn't move one step out of the way. He made sure that this person was not touched. It hurt him in the end. But Reb Aharon said it. That was it. There was no turning there. And after I was married, I mean, I'm jumping too
far. Right.
After I was married, and I had a chaver, I wanted to see Reb Aharon. Now this chaver of mine was one of the biggest lumber that America put out.
Can you tell me who it was?
Reb Doniel Weiss.
Don't know. He's not on my list.
Reb Doniel Weiss is on your list?
No.
He's not a Lakeland.
Oh, that's why.
No, he learned Torah v'Das. Reb Doniel wanted to go speak to the Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
And so I went up with him. He had some money to give the Rosh Hashanah. But this was mamish. Like, this was weeks before the Rosh Hashanah. It was a couple weeks before the Rosh Hashanah's Petira. And we went up. The Rosh Hashanah was still home. And he went to speak with him. So the Rosh Hashanah told him.
Where? In Borough Park?
In Borough Park. And he told me that he says, a little shmir now, he should come in next week. Next week he couldn't go in. Then he was Rosh Hashanah. He always had great grace. Mr. Nefesh and that. But Reb Doniel was a person who Reb Elia Chazan said on him, "New Pesach, the Mesugi Besser for me." I mean, he's big. He's big. After London, he's one of the big. He's very, very big.
Where is he now?
He's in Borough Park. He lives in Borough Park. But there are a lot of people that have these. You talk to Yitzchak Feigelstein.
I tried.
And he can't talk.
No, before he didn't want to talk.
He didn't want to talk?
No.
He can't talk to Yankel Shifis.
I would try, but I haven't gotten to him. He's in Eretz Yisrael. It's a little bit more difficult.
Does he come here? Do you go to Eretz Yisrael or no?
Very rarely.
You speak to him, tell Yishvei?
He didn't want.
He doesn't want?
He didn't want. Well, I spoke to his wife, and his wife said he didn't want.
I don't know if that's quite the case.
I could tell you a story. What I'm doing is very difficult. It sounds easy, but it's hard. Because some people don't want to talk.
I know. There's certain things like that.
And some people that wouldn't talk to me, they'll talk to somebody else.
Yeah, there are some shirazach. I mean, there's certain things you can't tell.
No, they're afraid to talk. I get all kinds of mixed things.
People won't know how to handle it. I see some things that I hear that I haven't explained to you.
Yeah.
Because people won't know how to handle it.
Some people are very agile in speaking, and some people are afraid.
Yeah.
And
you have to be very careful.
You wouldn't expect, like, this one would, and somebody else will. And you don't know who. You don't know what you can expect.
Right. Did you speak to Martel Sosner?
Nope. I don't think he's on my list.
Martel is not well, but he can talk. And Martel's the guy to talk to.
Where does he live?
He lives on 39th Street in near Derech Chaim.
Okay. Well, how do you spell Sosner?
S-U-S-N-A.
S-U-S.
The Martel. Martel Sosner.
S-U-S-N-A. N-A.
Yes.
Martel Sosner, 39th.
Yeah. You speak to Mayor Hartstein?
Yeah.
You speak to Yossel Rosenblum?
Doesn't want.
Why?
He didn't say why. He says, he just said, what did he say? He said, "Ach, tu das nicht."
Yossel said something. Some things you get into some politics, you got to be careful with.
I know. Some people are very, very sensitive.
I was in New York, and there were a number of bochum that refused to eat the fleish in Yeshiva. They said there were shilas on the fleish.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Listen, check this out. I'm just telling you the truth between you and me and the QT. And I happened to be in New York, and I knew the person who was sending this in. Now this person was a Talmud Rabban Nachman Yor, and he was an Isaac Menuchah person. The Hatovus from this person, but the people that were wanted this to be stopped. Tried to say Zach and connect with this person. So I came back from New York. I remember telling the Rosh Hashiva that I was there. Where he is, he took me in there. And one of the shalas was there were no shtemplach on the flesh coming in.
Like Bos Salmanayim?
Shtemplach. No, it wasn't Bos Salmanayim, not at all. Because this Talmud was taking care of it all. And the shtemplach is usually on the fat, and he cut off all the fat and he sent it in, you know, ready prepared.
Uh-huh.
And there were bochum that refused to eat from this.
Mm-hmm.
So I came back, I told Rosh Hashim, I checked it out.
Yeah.
There is no shiloh whatsoever.
Yes.
Rosh Hashim says, Ichveis. I know there's no shiloh. There's Rosh Hashim.
Yeah.
But the Bochum refused to eat.
Uh-huh.
So Rosh Hashim, rather than like the Bochum meant everything to Rosh Hashim. You know the mice with the Schultz.
The Schultz?
Yeah.
No.
Also with Chaim. Chaim used to like.
Chaim who?
Chaim Epstein. You don't have to mention this.
Yeah.
Chaim was a foolish, dark guy. So,
yeah.
So like the Bochum would come like Friday night, would come Friday night, and they would go into the chant, you know. And,
yeah.
And Chaim had this shaylos about Yirui Tizach. The mice was already cooked. But Chaim had this.
I mean, sticking the spoon in.
Yeah, but there was, yeah. So.
Hagosa.
Yeah. There was a Kaporzach, yeah. But I'll call upon him. There came a Zach that the Bochum used to eat the chant like.
Yeah.
So they came to Rosh Hashim and like, what to do about it, you know, like the Bochum would take the chant.
Yeah.
Like the Bochum was stealing the chant. So
they were stealing off from Chol Shabbos.
No. So that's Rosh Hashim the time that like, the Bochum are hungry, you know.
Yeah.
that's the Hasa Shul. The Bochum are hungry or something else. But the Rosh Hashim is, his psak was there. You have to make two chants from now on.
Uh-huh.
One for the bochum at night, and one for the day.
Yeah.
But the Rosh Hashiva like felt very. The Rosh Hashiva wanted to be very, very. He wanted to be very nunt with the bochum. He loved the bochum.
Uh-huh.
When I remember, I came in.
They were in awe of him at the same time.
Yeah. That was, you see, the Rosh Hashiva didn't know how to be. He was a yosem.
Uh-huh.
He had a tremendous sense of humor, but he didn't know how to do this.
Uh-huh.
It was a little schwer. Like when I came to yeshiva.
I'll tell you a story. I'll turn off this. I thought when somebody talked. That surely had a sense of humor.
Who had a sense of humor?
Yeah.
The mice were driving to New York with a hitchhiker.
No, I don't know that.
There are two goyim hitchhiking in there.
Yeah.
So I think it's a Fagerschlag or somebody else.
Yeah.
So they said, actually, they gave him an yellow lift, you know. So
just give him what?
Maybe they should give him a ride.
Oh, yeah?
But I know, so boy, I think it's not that cool. Why is it that I'm saying goyim?
Yeah.
So the Russian said, what's the name? Is that a doctor?
Uh-huh.
No, so, see, that bad. I don't know if you can put that in.
No.
But when I came to yeshiva, whenever they had chalukah, they would give it out. Yankel Schiff was a big bocher. He got $12 a week if it came out.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, at that time. And he was a rachebol. He was a rachebocher.
Oh, yeah.
Yankel had money. They came to me about chalukah, I said, who bocher the yeshiva? I'm an Americana bocher. I didn't know. I said, no, I don't want to take it.
Right.
I felt it was a tzedakah.
Right.
So the Rosh Yeshiva called me in.
Yeah.
Das ist nicht kein Zedakia. Das ist ein Chelik von der Yeshiva. Und du willst ein Chelik von der Yeshiva, musst du das nehmen.
Uh-huh.
And he told me very stark about that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it came in very handy. And then, like, when you ran out of cigarette money, it came in very handy.
Yeah.
Whenever you got it. But he does not say Chelik von der Yeshiva. That's the way it was done in Slabotka.
I understood he didn't like smoking.
Not exactly. I wouldn't say that. Because, you know, there was a mice there. There was a bocher. He went to the doctor, and the doctor told him he had to stop smoking immediately.
Uh-huh.
And he told the doctor he never smoked. He never smoked in his life.
Uh-huh.
So they found out that he was getting secondhand smoke.
Uh-huh.
It depends on the person. He was more susceptible.
Yeah.
So he was getting sick. So the Rosh Yeshiva said, "It's only shape in the base medrash."
Uh-huh.
What happened was the whole base medrash cleared out.
Uh-huh.
So the Rosh Yeshiva had to send him into the library, and the Bochum came back to the basement and they smoked. Mm-hmm. Rosh Yeshiva, I don't know, but they used to sell cigarettes in the hole there, as a penny a piece.
Do you remember the story with the fire on Yom Tov? With smoking?
Yes, I do. I don't know if you want to know that.
I want to know it.
I don't think you
know. No, not that made a fire.
What?
Nothing made a fire.
Because
they wanted to make a shiloh about the paper with there was printing on it, and they wanted to.
Oh, I thought you meant something else.
No.
I don't know that much.
So they wanted to find out if, because on cigarettes sometimes it burns the lettering.
Yeah, no, the machine didn't hold
it. So they wanted to ask him. So they didn't want to ask him because. He didn't like smoking, so they wanted to tell him.
Million to you mean?
Yeah, yeah. So they said, let's say you have a fire over here, and you want to bring it over there, could use a piece of paper to move it over. If the paper has printing. So he said, Rechetnet. You never heard that one?
No.
I was told.
That doesn't sound like that, because by the Rosh Hashanah wouldn't have been any shaila.
Uh-huh.
The shaila doesn't even come into it, doesn't come into the Rosh Hashanah would have called it Amaratzis.
Uh-huh.
Because out that there's no shiloh.
Mm-hmm.
So that Rosh Yeshiva wouldn't have, I don't know. It could be that.
Somebody told me that from the family.
I don't know. Maybe told it to the person specially that he should. But I don't know the mice.
Because what it shows is that he knew what they were up to. It was not like they were trying to ask him another shiloh, so he shouldn't know what the question really was. And he knew why they asked it. Not because they wanted to move a fire. The Einikel told me that.
Yankee.
No, the other one, the younger one.
Yeah.
Zulun told me that, yeah. He told me another story that one time that Yankee was they lived in the apartment there in Borough Park.
Yeah.
He was studying from at the school, he was writing an essay or something about Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
So he walked by and asked him, what is it? So he says, Abraham Lincoln says, so listen, as I can when I go. But don't get impressed. Okay, that's not my story.
Listen, let me think a little bit. I just got back and I'll...
I'm sorry. The trouble is, I got to call somebody I just saw right now.
Okay, ask him about Yankel Schiff.
No, the one I'm from Moshe Hillhurst. He told me to call
Moshe Hill.
He told me to call me this minute.
Yeah, okay.
Not to hang up.
Zay Machlia.
Kol Tov. Thank you very much.
Kol Tov.